Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome, everyone. Hope you had a good week. We are excited for this week's episode. Sonia, how you doing? How are we doing?
You know, overall, I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. I was reflecting. Back after talking to Cliff Bleszinski, going down a trip down memory lane. And I was thinking about, you know, the first game that I ever played. And I wanted to know your first game. I don't know if I've ever actually asked you that.
The very first game I ever played was like on the Odyssey.
Ooh.
And it was like two space cowboys, basically, who would just shoot blart bloops at each other.
Okay.
Which is, by the way, if people don't know what the Odyssey was, it was made by Magnavox.
Oh.
Yeah, not a big maker of consoles these days. They made TVs for a while. But it was it looked like, do you know what a speak and spell is?
Perfect. Score. Press go to do some more.
Oh, yeah, okay.
A speak and spell is kind of like a children's toy that's a plastic front and then has like buttons that you can press that are like little dimples, okay, in the giant plastic thing. Imagine a word processor, so a gray, silvery word processory thing with like a keyboard, but not a real keyboard, like plastic dimples. I'm not selling this very well. And then these cartridges that would go in that had these giant like handles on the top of them. It was insane. Oh. You know what it was kind of like is a machine that you would see in Fallout, like a retrofuturistic machine.
You have like the, what was it, the holotapes or the holodecks, yeah, or something like that kind of vibe? Okay.
Looks very much like a holotape insert kind of thing, or like an Alien Isolation. Oh, now you have to take this giant cartridge and stick it in this thing, and then a bad graphics come up.
So you're really selling this, honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm sold on the Odyssey.
So what about you? What were your first games?
Thinking back to the first games that I've ever played, I don't know if I want to imagine myself in this video game, but I'm picturing my Opa, my grandpa's old DOS-based computer. It was hidden in his basement, and all the adults are doing the adult stuff upstairs, whatever, talking coffee, I don't know. And then I go downstairs.
That's what adults talk about. Coffee and death.
I was summing it up, you know.
That is kind of what adults talk about.
Tell me I'm wrong. But I remember sneaking off downstairs and he had this old DOS-based computer and I spent so much time trying to figure out the commands and like navigating it. And then finally, I figured it out to the point that I found a game directory and I was like, this thing has games? And I was way too young to be playing it, but the first video game I ever played ever was Wolfenstein 3D on DOS.
Growing up quick.
Wolfenstein, Jazz Jackrabbit, Duke Nukem. Oh, man. Commander Keen.
Yeah.
Although
Wolfenstein 3D is
not a kid's game.
A mark of adulthood.
Yeah, I really threw myself into it pretty early, I guess.
Basically, what you're saying is it's better than Blop Blorp Bloop, which is what I played on the Odyssey. Anyway, we don't have any more time to waste because our guest today is a joy. He is literally a human ray of sunshine, which is why you shouldn't look at him directly without some kind of protection.
Yes, he is an internationally renowned vocal artist, beatboxer, musician, comedian, and gamer. He's also the band leader for The Late Late Show with James Corden, and he starred in the IFC series Comedy Bang Bang.
You know, look, he's a human cartoon, and there's no one more fun, pound for pound, in the world than Reggie Watts. Let's get into it. Hello, Reggie.
Hi, how are you?
Reggie, you and I went on tour a million years ago, and we shared a lot of very wild experiences. That was like 10 years ago, wasn't it?
10 years ago, yeah.
And one of my favorite things about you on this tour was you would take naps. You were an amazing napper. And this is a real story. I think we were like in Vegas or something. You're sleeping in the green room, dead asleep. And they come in, it's like, hey, Reggie. And they like nudge you. It's like, hey, it's time to go on. You're like, all right, I'm ready to go. You get up and then immediately kill it. I think that night you even did like this improv choral performance, like a gospel thing. And it was so full of energy. And I was like, this dude was asleep 20 seconds ago.
Professional performer, professional napper.
Professional napper. Do you still do that at Corden? Yep. Seconds before you go on the air, you're asleep?
You know, it's a weird coincidence, but the yesterday show that we shot, I actually was late because I'd fallen asleep in my dressing room or whatever. So, and that hasn't happened in a really long time. So that's a pretty amazing coincidence.
I love it. Full circle.
Full circle. A little less like pressure. It wasn't like a big audience waiting there. It's like, right. You know, it's just the crew and James, but you know, related.
That's funny.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I really love that. I really love like, or being like getting distracted into a really huge conversation until someone's like, you're supposed to be on stage now.
Mr. Watts.
Yeah, we're like, oh, okay. Anyways, I'll see you later. And then just immediately walk onto stage. And for me, that is the best way to get on stage. And you're just like, well, here's the reality shift. And now we're going this direction.
Well, speaking of reality, I mean, you are hard in the virtual reality. You've been like such an early adopter of the technology. You've been doing all sorts of cool, crazy, awesome, innovative stuff with it. But like, what was the start for you for that? Like what sparked that interest, you know, in that kind of tech?
I mean, it was like early movies in the 80s, you know. I mean, it kind of started with just being like, for instance, I think the movie that started that idea of going into other realities with some form of technology would have been Dreamscape. Super old school 80s movie, but very cool because it was about this technology that allowed people to enter into people's dreams and virtually interact with them, but also affect them emotionally to the point at which you could kill them. So that idea, except for the killing part, was very, very exciting to me. And also the books, the Narnia, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia, I think that's the name of it.
Yeah.
That whole idea, I remember a teacher reading us that story in grade school and the whole scene describing going through the closet and then it getting colder and suddenly they were in snow and then they were in this forest. And I always loved the idea of transitioning into another very magical reality while still being aware of the fact that you're doing so. And so, you know, like that vibe. And then when you start seeing things like in the late 80s, this VR, kind of early VR stuff popping up, this idea of like putting on Virtual Boy or whatever, just like putting on this thing and like, whoa, I'm in another. And then flash forward to Dactyl Nightmare, which was temporarily available in some arcades, you know, in 1995-ish, 96, something like that. And then so on and so forth. And the promise of it, and Lawnmower Man, and the 13th Floor, and the Matrix, and all of these things. It really, I was like, man, someday if we get the technology to the point at which it's very, you can put on a piece of technology, it hijacks your senses, and it's good enough to suspend your disbelief, and you feel like you actually are somewhere else, then that's what I want to be a part of.
Dreamscape takes me back. I remember, speaking of one reality affecting another, I saw that when I was way too young, by the way. And affected my real life where I was like, oh, I would have dreams about it and stuff. I remember that and it being crazy. One thing I think that's interesting about, you talk about the transition and the progression kind of a virtual reality. I really love the aesthetic of like the 80s. And I know, Sonia, you have a love of 90s aesthetic also. I almost love the idea of what people pictured virtual reality to be versus kind of what it looks like now. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I was just having a conversation about this with a friend recently and just kind of realizing that technology, especially in the 90s, technology was way more futuristic than what we have now.
Yeah,
now,
totally.
Now we just have these like minimal, like just glass rectangles. And back then there were these purpose-built devices that just did one or two things and had buttons and dials and switches on them that weirdly, like if I show someone my Sony Ericsson P900 smartphone, I don't know, PDA phone, whatever thing.
Yeah.
They would have been like, oh my gosh, what is it? Like people would be like, oh, this is so cool. What? Oh, and there's like there's a jog dial and you click down on it and you can scroll and you can also touch the screen, but then there's like a tiny keyboard. Like people yeah. would love that. Like they really love it, but it's cheaper to just make glass rectangles. So it's interesting, just the development of technology since the late 80s to now, it's in a weird way, kind of a letdown. I don't get as excited about holding everyday common objects that are electronic as much as I did back in the 90s.
Yeah, you look at these like cool headsets and like the vision that was there in the 80s. And like you're saying, everything was just kind of boiled down and condensed to this weird little rectangle.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's what yep. we got.
it's like the same thing we've been looking at since the beginning of movies. Like that's what we're going with. which is fine. I get it. Economies of scale and all that stuff. But I will say headset wise, there have been huge, huge improvements because, you know, people don't tend to get as dizzy anymore. And now we have new headsets coming out that like the Reverb G2, HP Reverb G2 that has a I think people are reporting, I haven't seen it yet. I have it, but I haven't set it up because I'm waiting for my computer. But the resolution apparently is, like you can't really see the pixels anymore.
That's so crazy. It's
unreal.
Crazy. That's huge. That's good. That's happening now. The other thing we need is 180.
Yes.
So you're still like kind of looking through a periscope.
I'm looking forward to a 180 field of view because I feel like then I won't be able to blame myself for missing so many things in Beat Saber. You know,
yes.
I'm like, I was looking over here and I'm like, when the walls come in yeah, Beat totally. Saber. You know, those walls, I'm just like, yeah. like that's when I jump and I hit my stove and I'm like,
Yeah. You can hurt yourself very easily when you don't feel free, truly free. I mean, that's crazy. The walls close in and you already don't have a great field of view. It's like, that's a double whammy. You're asking for trouble.
double whammy, dude. I know. You're talking about like technology and the aesthetics and those things. I mean, I've always loved old school music technology, like Moogs and like the quarter inch having to pull a thing out and put it in another thing. Give me that VR headset where it looks just like crazy wires and stuff. I'm into that, man. Like, give me that retro future.
Well, I think it's going to happen. I think that kind of stuff's going to happen when we have access to what I like to call decentralized manufacturing. Like when we have the ability to design things that we want to modify or whatever, and we can just upload or just, you know, send a file over to a manufacturer and they can just manufacture it to our, you know, our specifications. Maybe, I don't know. Or just glue a bunch of stuff on your headset.
We're doing this at home, a little DIY.
Yeah,
there you go.
Glue gun and just put a little...
Yeah.
I bedazzled mine.
It's yeah, oh my God. That. It's like, are you going to be able to resell it? No. But it's worth it.
What are some games that you love the aesthetic of in the game? Like for me, I love that Fallout kind of fake future 50s, you know, robot with 19 arms. Hello, sir. Good to see you. You know, like that kind of stuff. Is there an aesthetic that you love in a game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great one. There's actually, I'm looking for anything that's immersive. And weirdly, it's not like, it does become kind of a repetitive task game, but one of my favorite games for immersion, whether in VR or regular 2D video gaming, would be L.A. Noire.
Ooh, yeah.
L.A. Noire, the face or the facial recognition, whatever they use to track people when they were talking, is so good. They captured every nuance, every micro expression that makes us feel connected to someone when they're explaining something and we're watching them. Like, they nailed it, and it's better than almost any video game that I can name since then doesn't do it that well.
Kind of ahead of its time.
It was, that's what's so crazy about it. Yeah, if you just like YouTube some clips of the dialogue, and you'll recognize some of the actors too, because it looks like them. But But yeah, that's like a big deal for me. I love, because what I want to get to is I want to be inside of a movie, or I want to play a movie. Yes. And I want it to feel, you know, so I notice things like when characters turn, if they're like, they're kind of walking, you know, how video game characters, and then when they turn, it'll just kind of be like
that. Yeah. Like jagged.
Yeah.
It's just jagged, like, it's just like an immediate, like weird. And then like cars turn like kind of like this.
Yeah. By degrees. Yeah.
Yeah. By degrees, not even close, you know, to, but so for me, I'm paying attention to the non-player characters in the distance, the way they're walking, the way they're interacting with things, because to me, that's more immersive than the main character necessarily being fluid. Right. So I care about those little distant details because it means that you're probably being taken care of as an experiencer.
Yeah. I mean, it really does deepen the whole immersion of it.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Reggie, in games, do you make the character look like yourself, or do you go completely different? What's your like style in terms of character creation?
I always play women, and I just think female avatars just look better than male avatars. It's kind of boring. Like a guy is like, no offense, guys, I think you're great too, but like it just looks better. It's just like better as a person who moves and can like do things. You're just like, there's more power there. So I like that, and then I like. You know, like in Borderlands 3, I chose the Gunner class, which is, they're just automatically those characters, so it doesn't matter. But she's a woman, and she's just, like, so Tank Girl. Like, I had the biggest crush on Tank Girl.
Oh, me too. Me too.
And generally, they're of some kind of darker skin tone. Like, you know, like future in Cyberpunk, I like it because I'm like, well, in the future, we're all going to be a little darker. Like, we're all, everybody, you know, there's going to be patches.
I can't continue patches. With this. I need. It's terrible. I'm
but you
clear.
Know.
It's like Conan. Yeah. Yeah. I need to be dark.
It's Team Coco, man. By the way, I always forget that, you know, in the UK, they call redhead people gingers for the people out there that may not know that. Maybe they probably do. But yeah, so my mother's a redhead. So I always forget that I'm half ginger.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I like that. Like people who get made fun of for their like, you know, red hair and super light skin tone, and I burn as soon as I see a light bulb, like all of that stuff. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm kind of related to that somehow. And that's kind of cool. I feel you. But yeah, that's usually my thing. I usually go for cool female character with like awesome haircut and a little bit darker skin. That's usually, and that's in role-playing games too.
Hell yeah, dude. I love it. I know we're all living our best lives through video games and RPGs. I'm going small, fast girl. I just kill people with my hands. That's what I do. I don't even use, I'm sneaky and just, that's my
You got style, the nails? So. You got like the big nails at
yeah.
least?
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm gonna go knives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
I love it. What do you, Reggie, you've performed in VR, obviously many times, and do you make yourself look like yourself when you're performing in VR? Is it like, well, now this is VR, Reggie?
Well, weirdly, in VR, I try to make it look like me. So it's either, you know, when I did shows for Alt Space, they made an avatar that looked like me. Yeah, even in when I did something for Sansar, they made an avatar that looked like me for that performance. And then any other time, it's been usually like using a depth sense camera. So like a Microsoft Azure Kinect. And so it'll project a holographic sense depth map of me in the space in real time. So in general, to answer your question, I'd rather look like me in if it's me performing and addressing people. The whole like, I'm a different creature. If I was playing a role as something, You know, then I would love to become something else and do a different voice for it. But generally in VR, if it's me presenting, performing, or interacting, I'd rather it look like some version of me.
That makes sense. So maybe for like Fuck Shit Stack, you would just become a character just for that song and then change back to Reggie for a different song.
I mean, possibly. Yeah. Some version of myself still, but like something heightened.
There we go. A touch of the Gorillaz, you know, that.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah.
A little Gorillaz.
Finish is great to me.
The game I am just dying to play in VR is Mario Kart.
Ooh, and never really played it that much. I think 92, I moved into this really low rent area. My next door neighbors were weed dealers. And so we would freely come into each other's apartments, like friends or, you know, or Three's Company or something like that. You know, just walk in.
I love you as like Jack Tripper in Three's Company, like, hi, everyone, opening the door.
Like, I was like, sorry, I didn't see that. Whoa, boy. You know,
you live with a studio audience. They all applaud when you come in. Yay, totally,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, guys, or the Kramer effect. And so when Super NES came out, everybody was playing it. And I was afraid of game controllers at the time because they added, you know, the complexity of like shoulder buttons. Yeah. And so I would go over there and I would just watch them play Mario Kart. I loved watching. So I played it a little bit later on when I got over the fear, but not that much. Yeah. But I love it.
You're just waiting for Mario Kart and VR to really dive in, I feel like.
That's where it is for me. I mean, for me, VR is, I'm more interested in time traveling and visiting. Like, I just want to like get into a car, have like a little simulator in my space or whatever. I can just sit down in a chair with a steering wheel and get into a car, drive through Night City, you know, just like drive around, go to the outskirts of town, or switch over to some other video game, 76 or whatever, Fallout 76.
Borderlands.
Yeah, just like drive around or L.A. Noir, which is really beautiful to drive through.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I really want all the simulations to connect together.
Yes.
And you can just go to whichever world you want to, but you could just like casually just peruse it, you know, just like cruise through it. Watch it, or a Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's like beautiful scenery, like incredible mapping, incredibly detailed light physics, incredible. And I just want to just chill. I don't necessarily want to be constantly blowing something up or like meeting someone for some reason.
Being a musician, are you paying particular attention to the music? Is that, for me, like Halo, like I always go,
oh, that's great. Halo's the best. And then you get into a la 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 la. That's Scarborough.
I feel like I'm fighting the Covenant right now.
I would say the sound design and the music for The Division 2, which I play a lot, is pretty great. It's really supportive and sets the tone, and you know, you feel like whatever it's trying to indicate.
Yeah.
To a certain degree, it brings up a point that sound design and music curation for video games is cheaper and more important than the visuals, I would say. I mean, that's how I start, because, you know, there's been research that says like if people are watching a video and you flip which quality is like subpar, whether it's video or audio, people will always say that the thing with the worst audio is the worst quality.
Whoa. And
because it bothers us, because we want to hear clearly, you know, and the image doesn't matter if it doesn't consume us, you know, music is so good at immersing us.
Reggie, we are almost out of time, but before we go, we'd like to end every podcast by asking our guest the game they like the most and the game that they hate the most, or that has frustrated them. Do you have a game that has just frustrated you and just made you insane in your brain? That anything come to mind, your worst game? Just you personally, not overall, but just for you, your worst video game.
Mm. It's going back a ways, but it's the first thing that came to mind. I'm sure there's some newer games, but Tempest.
Tempest? Oh. What is Tempest?
It's an early 80s video game, a video arcade game. It's flat. It's like a flat table, and there's like a big dial, and you're like rotate like around a bunch of like wireframe colored shapes.
What? Okay.
And And you're supposed to like, and it's based off of the poster for it or the ads for it. It's like this kind of mutant creature that was kind of popular back then that they used for the main creature. Even though there's no, that creature does not exist. In these video games barely could generate graphics that looked like things necessarily. However, that was the game and I used to see it and I tried it and I was like, nah, fuck this shit. Like, that's like, I was like, I can't. And there's going to be listeners that are like, actually the game is strategically incredibly hard to use. The speed at which you have to make, I was like, yeah, I get it. But I just was like, no, I can't do it. But probably my favorite game that I'm playing. Yeah, I mean, I bounced between Borderlands 3 and The Division 2. The Division 2, what's great about it is that it really does hone in some nice tactical skills and button coordination. Because my whole thing is like, I want my character to look realistic and be fluid and like, you know, roll at the right time and take cover at the right time and reload at the right time and pop up out of cover just as someone else is ducking down. Like, it invokes that impulse to like really focus on it.
That's great.
Short answer is probably Borderlands 3, just because it's more cartoony and there's the violence is a little less literal and stories and some really great voice acting.
And the humor. The humor's so good in it too.
Humor's great.
Random guns and stuff. Yeah, they did a really good job. Which one do you think you've spent the most time in between the two?
God, that's tough. Maybe The Division 2, because I know there was a boss level in Borderlands 3 that I got stuck on and I just got frustrated. I was like, fuck this. And I just kind of didn't play it for a while. So yeah, so probably The Division 2, but I love Borderlands. Borderlands 2 is a masterpiece. Borderlands 3 has some troubles and some corniness, like appealing direct, like just making some hard appeals to different demographics that are a little bit too obvious. A little thirsty. But other than that, I'd say probably The Division 2, but in a perfect world, Borderlands 3.
There we go. Ooh, I love it. Maybe a little, you know what? Maybe they'll come together again and have some kind of a baby that can then be in VR.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? And it'd be, and then it's like the music is filthy and somehow you're in a perfectly rendered plane. I think that's the perfect Reggie Watts game. All of it. All of it together.
All comes together. Perfect Venn diagram cross section. Love it.
Well, Reggie Watts, thank you so much. This was a thrill.
Well, yeah,
I mean, I'm very much looking forward to your next VR performance.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I gotta say, one of the things that struck me about Reggie is he is literally like a VR avatar in real life. Like, the man is like a human cartoon character. It's awesome. I love him.
He really is. He is an absolute joy and such an animated, incredible human being. Love chatting with him. Thank you so much to Reggie for joining us. And I'm looking forward to catching him in VR again. I really hope that I can catch him in another VR performance. He's absolutely incredible. So for info on any upcoming dates, check out ReggieWatts.com and make sure to follow him on Twitter at ReggieWatts.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to be joined by Conan O'Brien, Sonam Ovsesian, and Matt Gourley to get their thoughts on Sega's brand new Phantasy Star Online 2, New Genesis. We'll be right back.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
We partnered with Sega to bring you this podcast segment. All right, so Conan, this is very exciting. Sega has come to us, the fine folks at Sega have come to us, and they wanted to get you, Sona and Gourley, your take on their new game, Phantasy Star Online 2, New Genesis.
Wow. First of all, the title is way too long. Do you know what I mean? Do you have to say all of that? Or what are the kids calling it? New Gen 2? What do you...
I mean, you could call it like PSO2:NGS, I guess, if you wanted to.
You always good to work colon into your title. Sonia, you're cool. What do people call this, do you think? Do they use that whole title?
Yeah, I'd say so, especially the colon part.
Okay, so New Genesis, Fantasy, Star Online, 2, right. Colon, New Beginnings, The Resurrection. Mm-hmm. Is that something perfect. Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I just fixed the title.
Yeah. So here it is. So Fantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis. Jesus. It's an upcoming I know, I'm so sorry.
So long.
It's an upcoming it's an online action RPG game with a sci-fi anime setting. It's the latest in the Fantasy Star game series and the successor to Fantasy Star Online 2.
Oh, why didn't you just say that?
That's cool. I was gonna stop you and ask what RPG is, but I won't because that would have meant that you repeated the title, and then I'd have a long gray beard and have to shave it. So let's not get into that.
Yeah. So the game actually is about Fantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis is set 1,000 years after the events of Fantasy Star Online 2 and the Battle of Oracle. Fantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis takes place on Halfa, a planet in which Arcs, who are the soldiers of the Oracle Colony Fleet in the Fantasy Star Online 2 series, are locked in a battle for dominance against the mysterious D-O-L-L-S, Dolls.
I have to say, you had me at Fantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis colon.
At any point, is there a frog that tries to dodge traffic? Okay.
Now that's a game. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, they have weapons and they can use the photon arts, which are kind of using cosmic energies. They're focusing cosmic energies.
We all know what photon arts are.
What's cool about this game is, you know, your avatar, everyone kind of can play together online. You guys can all play together and you can really change your avatar. You can pick every little different aspect to make it look exactly how you want. Things like you could change your hair color, your eye size, the size of your hands, your thigh thickness.
Yes, I want thick thighs.
Yeah. I've never had needle thin thighs.
I've never had thick thighs, and I want them.
Tiny hands, thick thighs.
Yes, I want tiny hands and just massive sausagey thighs. Thick, you know, sausagey thighs and tiny hands.
I'm just realizing that I had the original Sega Master System. I chose that over Nintendo, and they had a Fantasy Star game for that. It was the first one, I think.
Did you play it?
I don't remember if I played that, but I used to play my Sega all the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
You didn't? Did you have? You had friends, right?
No, not a one.
No, but it's interesting that. So you were. This is early on. What year are we talking about here?
It would have been mid to late 80s, I think. I can't remember what year. Yeah, but I loved it.
That's cool. So you were an original fan, and now you can return with this much better version of the game. Is this something that you would play, Matt?
No, it scares the hell out of me.
It frightens you?
Yeah, it just looks too complicated. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
There's a lot happening. I think I'd be overwhelmed, too.
But what about now? Everyone in this game kind of has these robot suits. What about in real life if you guys could have a robot suit?
Yeah.
What would you want as part of in your robot suit? What kind of things
I would just
would you
want a lot of snacks.
Yeah. I was different thinking that too, like a candy dispenser.
Yes. I would want, like, there's candy here. There's hard candies here. There's sort of candies with a shell.
Yeah.
But like an M&M or a peanut M&M over here. There's like a Starburst over in this section. And then there's. Like a soda fountain.
Yeah.
And a straw.
You would have just like a mechanized version of Bib overalls.
Yeah, exactly. With just lots of cool food.
But it'd be bulletproof.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid, I remembered I was drawing my fantasy room and it always involved tons of snack dispensers in my fantasy room.
So now you could just have it on you.
Yeah.
And this is when I should have been interested in girls, but it was still about the snacks.
Yeah, okay.
Really, and maybe it is to this day, sadly.
Gorley, what would you have in your mech suit? And would you have in your robot suit?
I guess, you know, I think I would...
Loot strings.
I knew it. I knew it, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
A spare vintage dime novel for you to read ironically.
I would just have earmuffs so I wouldn't have to hear this abuse from my boss.
We would all die so fast. Yeah. On this planet?
No,
I think so, Sonia.
I think as a team, you guys would crush it. You would do okay.
Right. We would get crushed.
Yeah. We would kill each other.
No three people work worse together doing anything.
I know.
Just talking, the three of us, it doesn't go well. Yeah. It often leads to whiplash and harsh feelings all around.
We are rock, scissors, paper personified.
Yeah.
One of the things that's very exciting about this game is it's cross-platform. So you can play, if you have PC and you have Xbox One, you guys can play with each other. And you have to team up. So like on the battlefield, I know you said you're rock, paper, scissors, but if you guys were going to team up to fight a giant enemy, what would your strategy be? What's your battle strategy going in?
Sacrifice Conan.
Instantly.
Mm-hmm. I think, Sona and Matt would pick me up and throw me at the giant robot.
Yep.
And then they would keep giving me new life so they could throw me into something else. They would keep reviving me just so they could throw me at other things.
He's got all the snacks. So just be like a pinata.
Yeah, exactly. I would explode. You're right. Sonia's right. I would explode, and Doritos and Starburst would fly everywhere, and the robots would just be delightfully eating the orange broken pinata, and you guys would have plenty of time to leave and build a house, and suddenly it would be Minecraft.
I'm suddenly into this game. I'd like to play this.
That would totally be our strategy. I think it'd be good.
I want, Blay, I want you to have an operation where we remove the jargon from you. Because when you start saying this is cross-platform, you can play with an RPG and a flip-flop and a chip-chop, I don't know if I'm coming or going, if it's north, south, east, or west.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, you know, this game, as you guys probably have already guessed, has new multi-weapon systems and abilities where you can combine two types of weapons for smoother weapon switching. You know, I mean,
oh, God.
So wait, you can take one, you can take a spear and combine it with a machine gun, and then it's a spear machine gun. Is that
what
you mean?
Well, let's say you've just respawned in this role playing game and you need to swap out your phaser blaster with, let's say, a photon ionizer. It's just that simple.
It's that easy.
And this is all, are you sure this is cross platform though?
Oh, I'm certain.
Oh. Is it an RPG?
Yeah, it sure is.
Okay.
All right, Colin. You know, Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. I've actually, you know, I know a little more than you think I do because I watch my son play video games. I creep in. He's got headphones on, so he can't see. And but I can see him constantly upgrading his weapons all the time. And he does have the patience to explain to me sometimes what he's doing. It's cool. You're constantly upgrading.
Well, you can make your player better and better and better. I mean, the other thing I wanted to say is, and Conan, maybe you would like this, but you can, when you're choosing your character and all the different aspects, you can even change the glossiness of your skin.
Oh, nice.
Change how glossy your skin
is. They really went all out with the character creation.
So is that like perspiration creation. Or?
Yeah. Or is it someone who moisturizes?
Yeah.
A bit of both.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it's like you can choose how much moisturizer you used.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you get a tan? Like, can he be a tanned version of himself?
Yeah.
You could live out all your dreams.
Whoa.
What dreams? I just want to have some pigment. It's not I'm not asking for a lot here. I don't want to be Ricky Ricardo. I mean, I'd love to be, but it's not going to happen. But I'd like the freckles to merge at some point and then have real skin tone.
You just want a little tan and a little bit of moisturizer.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fair.
I have a question. Have they ever thought about making a game called Zen where you don't get any better, but you accept yourself for what you are?
Oh.
Wow.
You don't level up because you're already there.
Oh. Whoa. That
sounds real boring.
You don't. And the numbers are in for Zen. Yeah. 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 The numbers are in for Zen, and it has sold absolutely no. This is fascinating. Not even one. All the demos have been returned, all the free demos.
Is there a colon between the Z and the EN?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's ZE colon N.
Zen.
So to wrap up, what do you guys think? Would you play this together? What do you guys think about this game?
I think we would. I think it would be good for us, a good team building exercise, because Matt, Sona, and I, we need to get more in sync. We work together. A lot of people listen to us, and there's a lot of squabbling. There's a lot of butting of heads. A lot of people not listening to who's clearly the alpha male. I think what we should do.
People listen to me a lot. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
The sound of one hand clapping. So I don't know. I think it couldn't hurt us to play this game, maybe get together. Sona, you want to do it? You want to get? We could all get together at your house and play this game.
Yeah.
What? I mean, I think the point is we could all be at our own house.
Oh, I forgot how computers work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that so sad that I really literally thought that I was going to get a little controller and drive over to your house and that was the only way to play with you. I forgot, and I'm not even kidding, I forgot that everyone can be in their own home.
I think I did too.
I thought that we were all going to play, you know, some board game together, like Trouble and or Hungry Hungry Hippos, and that I had to drive over to your house and Gorley was going to drive over and we were going to have dip and chips and then play together. I forgot the very essence of this technology.
Yeah. I mean, you can come over. It's just...
I don't want to go over there.
No. There we go. Well, so Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis. It comes out on PC and Xbox One on June 9th. I think you guys would play it. Maybe this will
We're going to play it. We're gonna, and you know what? We are going to get together and play it in the same room.
Are we?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to rent us a nice hotel room. We're all going to go there and we're going to order up some lobster.
Okay, I'm cool.
And and some champagne, and we're gonna play together.
Okay,
it's fancy, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sounds excessive, but okay.
And guess what? I'm gonna use someone else's credit card. Oh. I'm not paying for this.
Well, that was a ride, and I cannot wait to watch Gorley and Sona sacrifice Conan the human pinata. In Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis with extra colons. And that does it for this week. So if you have any questions at all, video game requests, you want us to prescribe you a video game, anything at all, write in at Good Game Nice Try on Twitter or use the hashtag GGNT and we'll see your beautiful faces next time.
Good Game Nice Try is produced by Jed Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton, with engineering and sound design by Chester Gwazda. Music by John Danick.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.